We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Time there's a positive Seth Payne text, I'll read it. Overcovered. We were talking earlier in the show about stories that have been overcovered in 2025. Here in Houston, but particularly on Payne and Pendergast, overcovered. J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, and just about anything former Texan related. Only relevant former Texan to me is Seth Payne.
I'm on the Mount Rushmore of relevant former.
Oh, that's middle screen. I didn't even look
doesn't
at the number.
Count.
That's middle
doesn't
screen.
Doesn't count. No, the funniest thing about that, like, obviously he's joking, but there is, when you don't have a championship in your organization, the appetite for discussion about former greats of the franchise is definitely different than once you win that championship.
No doubt.
You brought up a great, but we were talking about it during the break, and Biggio and Bagwell, it took on a different aura after the Astros finally won a championship.
Yeah.
To where all of a sudden, it almost gives like a stamp of authenticity on everything.
Yes.
Even if it happened decades before.
Yeah.
And I would think about like, Leroy Selman maybe, back in the day for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, awesome, awesome defensive tackle, but it was for the Bucks in their expansion years and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like the coverage I've seen of him after the Bucks won their first Super Bowl in the early 2000s, like, it's different.
It changes.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
JJ and Andre will get more, I think, like, genuine interest and, like, a different type of admiration once the Texans win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, they're both going to have, like Bagwell and Biggio, they're both going to be Hall of Famers too. That helps raise the bar. But yeah, it needs to be a championship organization with that stamp of authenticity. I think is a good way to put it, Seth. And it affects all generations of the organization.
We were talking about things that maybe we've talked about too much in 2025. I would admit to talking too much about JJ potentially coming back.
Yeah,
last
back when
year
that was
and the
a
year
thing.
Before.
Yep.
We probably beat that over the head a little too much. JJ wasn't helping because he was fueling the fire.
Do we?
With these mysterious statements and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it was, and people were talking about it too. I don't super apologize for that one. I do wonder, when JJ goes on McAfee, we play a lot of that audio, but I feel like we keep it confined to the stuff where he's talking about current Texans stuff.
It's more, JJ has turned into a really good commentator.
Yes.
And I think I'm really excited. For those of you who didn't know, he's going to be doing color commentary this year. And I thought he did a great job in the Christmas Day game.
Mm-hmm.
I think JJ is going to be the right blend of kind of explaining things, but also telling the player side of things and everything. So I'm excited to watch him in those.
I'm too. And he's on the second team for CBS. The first team is obviously Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Ian Eagle is the number two play-by-play guy. That's who JJ's partner is going to be. I say that to say, and we talked about this before on the show, but in case this is new to you, that JJ's doing this, I think he's going to wind up doing a few Texan games, at least a couple of Texan games this year. I think the Texans are kind of, they have games that you look at their schedule. I think they're the type of team that's going to be playing in a lot of games that are maybe not the marquee game, but they're pretty high up the board. The days of every game being Spiro Dedis is gone. Like, that's not how they may get one of those games, but not all the games.
I miss you, Steve Tasker.
Yeah. Andrew Catalan, don't leave. So ESPN.
That Steve Tasker, his son played at Cornell, so that was my one opportunity to talk Cornell football with somebody in the media. Was when Steve Tasker was in town every other week for a Texans game. Yeah.
Not happening anymore. Not happening. So ESPN is rolling out their top 10 lists at each position, one position per day over 11 days. They've done the running backs. Joe Mixon came in at number 9. They did the defensive tackles. The Texans had nobody on that list. They do top 10. They do a few honorable mentions, and then they do the also receiving votes. Texans didn't have anybody in any of those categories at D-tackle.
Oh.
Not a huge surprise. And that's, I don't say that with any disgust or anything. Like, that's the journeyman position for them. Edge rushers, they knocked it out of the park. They had Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter both make the top 10. Will was 8. Danielle was 9. Today is safety, Seth. So I think when you and I did our predictions on this a few days ago as to which positions would we see some Houston Texans, I think you and I both said that C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I could see him being honorable mention on. I could see him getting some votes. And by the way, 70 executives, scouts, and coaches vote on this. They put in their top 10 at each position. That's how this is tabulated here. So that was our prediction, I think, was CJ GJ in the honorable mention category.
Right. I mean, he's such a ball hawk. Yeah. And yet at the same time, he has this mysterious track record of just being on...
changing teams every year.
Is it four different teams in five different states?
Yeah, something
whatever
like that.
It is at this point. Yeah. I guess he seems to have a shelf life. We don't know.
It's four different teams in five different states.
He will be. He's overly aggressive at times. He takes chances. But man, he comes down with the football very, very frequently.
Yep.
So... where does C.J. Gardner-Johnson, by the tone of what you're saying, it sounds like he didn't make the top 10.
He didn't make the top 10, but he did make... now, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is not the only thing that intrigues me about the Texans on this list. Mm-hmm. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, as we predicted, and we'll tell you who the top ones were in just a second, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson made honorable mention, and there's five honorable mentions. There's a top 10 and then five honorable mentions. Kalen Bullock.
Woo!
Honorable, not just also receiving votes. Kalen Bullock... honorable mention. Here's what they say about both the Texan players. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Quote, this is from an NFC scout. Takes chances, very instinctive, not the biggest dude or the fastest, but has a knack for the ball. The personality can rub guys the wrong way. He has no filter. Will say what's on his mind at all times.
Yes,
but he
is a truth teller.
Oh, dude, this is great for us. This is outstanding. But he loves the game and is very smart. So that's the scouting. I can't wait for this guy. I can't. So excited.
I wonder if his if he's a truth teller. Sometimes that's where you get a shelf life. Do you know how to? Do you know when to tell the truth or when sometimes to bite your tongue? I don't know.
But we'll Seth, I'll point out, remember he stayed away from OTAs because he realized he might be a little too honest with everybody. At least that's what he said.
Well, because he felt like he was coming in and everybody felt good about themselves. But it sounded like the way you were saying it was like, boy, everybody's really happy and everything. And the way I interpreted what he was saying was, these guys don't realize that they haven't accomplished anything yet. So I'm going to stay away for a little bit because I'm coming off the high of winning the Super Bowl. We'll see.
Yep.
That's the great brutal honesty is awesome. But even if you're somebody who's brutally honest, and I say this to some of you, you know, you very bold, young 21-year-olds out there, not every truth needs to be spoken all the time.
That's right.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's best to just bide your time and then tell the truth when it's appropriate or in a certain way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just because something is true doesn't mean that it needs to be said in that moment.
That's right. That's right. I know about the First Amendment and everything else. You know. I know.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. No. Listen. The government. The jackbooted thugs aren't going to come after you for saying it. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing to say.
Jackbooted. Yeah. Jackbooted and ham-handed are my two favorite adjectives out there. I love both of those adjectives. Jackbooted. Kalen Bullock. Here's what they're saying about Kalen Bullock, Seth. AFC executive says, quote, I really think he's going to be a star. NFL coordinator says major ball skills needs to improve his tackling.
Yeah, I'll take that. The major ball skills in the range. You know what? I might disagree with a little bit in that I think he's got the range to get there, but he had a lot of opportunities for interceptions where he didn't come down with the ball.
Yeah.
So I think the jugs machine needs to be his best friend for one. But when it comes to the tackling, it's not just the actual physical act of tackling. For him as a safety, a lot of times it's taking the right angles.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that he struggled with last year as a rookie and got better at as the season went on was kind of just anticipating, seeing the whole picture in front of you, diagnosing where your danger area is, and then getting there with the right angle.
Yeah.
Some of those long touchdown receptions could have at least been stopped at the 5 or stopped at the 10 if Kalen had taken a better angle.
Yep.
So, but he got better at it. And he was very, you know, when him and Kamari Lassiter came in, you knew the scouting report was Kalen Bullock is raw, Kamari Lassiter is polished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looked like at the beginning of the season. Kalen did a good job of polishing himself up a little bit. He's got to continue on that path. But some of it with the tackling, you do wonder a little bit of, okay, yes, he can improve at it, but he is also, he's never going to be an Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, like, his body size and type and everything is not going to be a ferociously physical style of play.
Dude, the talent, the shift for this organization in recognizing talent in the third round of the NFL draft has been one of the more underplayed shifts over the last, say, 10 years. Rick Smith could not find anything in the third round. Like, he couldn't find his ass from his elbow in the third round. He had a great in the first round, outstanding in the first round. And he wasn't always picking real high. Rick Smith.
It's not easy to be good in the first round.
And he was very good. He was good at finding guys in the 20s and in the teens. I give him credit for that. Third round was abysmal. With Nick Caserio in the third round, they have found Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Christian Harris, and Kalen Bullock. And the reason I couch it as talent recognition is I know what people are going to say. Well, Tank's hurt, and Christian Harris is hurt. I get it, and that's a problem. They need to be healthy. But they undoubtedly found – Christian Harris maybe a little less evident than Tank. It was – Tank, independent of the injuries, was a star-level player when he was on the field. Tank was excellent. Kalen Bullock, third-round pick. That makes me excited about Jalen Knoll. He was their third round. You know, Jalen Knoll and Jalen Smith, they took both those guys in the third round this year, you know?
Yeah.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Tank, it's interesting. I was talking to, I sent a clip to Clint because I wanted to ask him about something that CJ did on a play. And there was one, I kind of started off because there was a play where Tank was wide open and CJ checked the ball down. But I could tell something was a little bit off. And this was from the Patriots game last year. And Clint said something like, I don't know what Tank is doing there. I've never seen that route before.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like there's a little bit of a holdover from the air raid. So I think the way I took it was that CJ didn't see him because Tank was not where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And some of that goes back to, man, making that adjustment in your second year, you got to refine everything that much more. And the real big tragedy last year was it was in that Chiefs game where all of a sudden, oh, look at this. We got crossers. There's a short game working and everything. And Tank was on his way to having the best game of his year.
He caught a touchdown, a deep ball on the play he got hurt on.
And held on to the ball.
I know. That was amazing.
Held on to the ball.
It was incredible.
That was so impressive that he held on to the ball as his knee is getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, he was going through some sophomore challenge type stuff
same
way a lot of young receivers do. But he was still somebody who had to be accounted for and was like an obvious threat.
Also receiving votes in the safety category, as we just mentioned, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock, honorable mention. I'll tell you who the top ones were in a second, but I'm hitting the Texan stuff here. Also receiving votes, former Texan Justin Reed, who's now with the Saints, and Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie, I mean... I don't know what we're listing. I don't know what he's listed as on the roster for the Texans, if it's safety or a corner. I just know the stuff the Texans have him doing are not safety things these days. But
he's a nickel linebacker who plays in the slot as well. That is, he's a nickelbacker, star, whatever you want to call it.
So he got some, you know, there's 6-7 other guys getting votes. So whatever the league views Petrie as, you know, the executives, coaches, and scouts. At least in this position grouping, he's among the top 20 to 22 of those guys, which I guess feels good given they just gave him a decent amount of money this offseason, you know?
Justin Reed, I keep getting confused too because he goes back to the Saints and he's from Louisiana, and it mirrors so much of like Tyrann Mathieu going back to former Texan who goes back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Obviously much more of a tie with Tyrann Mathieu because of college and everything.
Yeah.
Justin Reed is – that's one – despite the fact that I feel good about the safety position right now, I feel like Justin Reed is one of the biggest casualties from the Jack Easterby era.
Yeah.
I think Justin Reed is a good, solid dude and a very good and solid player and just flat out got sick of the nonsense and it wasn't going to work out. And it's a shame, but that's not going to make your break your or anything.
No.
But I'm glad that he made that.
It worked out for him, and I think the Texans are in a good place right now. So, you know, the one that hurts the worst for me on this list, the number one safety, according to all these voters, could have been a Houston Texan, Kyle Hamilton, Baltimore Ravens. You know, he was part of that whole sequence of events that involved the Kenyon Green pick right there in the middle of the
draft. But ironically enough, at the very least, we did get C.J. Gardner-Johnson out of that draft.
That's true.
So there you go.
Kenyon Green trade. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Kyle Hamilton, number one. Brian Branch, number two. Boy, the spreads on the voting at safety. A lot of these votes, the guys that are number one, their highest ranking is one. Like the highest voter put him at one and the lowest puts him at like three. Safety, Kyle Hamilton, highest ranking 1, lowest ranking 9. Brian Branch of the Lions, highest ranking 1, lowest ranking, not even on the top 10 for some of these guys. Xavier McKinney of the Packers is number 3, highest ranking 1, lowest ranking 10. Jesse Bates of the Atlanta Falcons, highest ranking 2, lowest ranking, not ranked. And then you got Kirby Joseph. And these guys all have spreads like this. Derwin James is 6. Antoine Winfield, 7. Buda Baker still kicking it at 29 here. He's number 8 on the list. Minka Fitzpatrick, who just got traded last week back to the Dolphins, he's number 9 on the list. And then Julian Love, go Irish.
I think some of these guys, for one, like Minka Fitzpatrick, I think the past performance weighs in more heavily than more recent performance on that one. Yeah, it didn't do a whole hell of a lot last year.
No.
The one where I had to fact check myself is when all of a sudden you look up and you realize, oh, Derwin James has actually been healthy for 4 years now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that
and
way.
He's one of those guys that in your mind you're like, oh yeah, used to be awesome, but that got injured a bunch. You're like, no, he's been pretty healthy. He wasn't himself in 2023. Maybe it was injury related, but he played. Where like last year, he looked more like classic Derwin James, just in time to play the Texans
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday. All right, let's shift back to the Astros. The big story last night was not their loss to the Guardians. We hated it, but it was not the big story. The big story: Jake Meyers injured, running onto the field before the game even started, while coming back from a calf injury. We'll hear from Joe Espada on what made him think it was a good idea to trot Jake out there last night, and then we'll also hear from Jake himself, who did media last night, asked if this one feels worse than the calf strain that you suffered several days ago. We'll have that for you coming up next.